It's in here. Unless David knows already.
You can go ahead.
You just tell me they were below their target, where their target is.
They asked for 2.2, they need 1.75, and they are at $1 million.
Let's get started. We're gonna put out a proposed spreadsheet here, and we believe we really have a good proposal, and we've come from about 20 million to part with the governor to about 3 million, and we made some cuts in some places that we probably didn't want to make some cuts, but we're trying to get to a deal here. I don't know how much detail I don't know how much detail the committee wants me to go into, or do you want to look at the sheet? I can have Dave go through the spreadsheet if you want. Probably generalities, probably where we made the cuts that are different from what we saw when we came in. If you can just kind of give a quick summary, and then if somebody's got questions, we can try and answer them. And everybody's seen the language, because we did all the language on Friday, and the numbers are reflected in the report you have in front of you. But I'll tell you, I'll have Dave go through the proposed spreadsheet so everybody can understand exactly what we did to get to the compromise language.
Mr. Chairman and members, there are about six or seven adjustments from last week. I'll give you the reductions. The jobs production program called Snowbait, there was 2.5 million more reduced from those numbers. For the arts board,
could you put the line number with that?
Mr. Chairman, for the Snowbait, excuse me, we're on page 3. Line 127, jobs production program increase. The Senate had 1,825, and that increase now is 575,000.
And members, all the way to the right is the proposed conference committee compromise that we've come up with here. So that's the column all the way over is the one we're talking about right now, to the right.
So the two differences are $2.5 million less than the Senate. For the arts board, that's on page 8. The Senate was cutting $1,000,004 for the biennium, and over under the conference committee side, it's 2.4. So that's about 700,000, about a million more reduction there in the Senate.
Did you say minus 700,000?
Minus a million there from the Senate position. And for the Regional Arts Council, line 316, the Senate position was 600,000 reduction, and we increased that by about 400,000. So it's over under the conference total, it's 1 million. So we took about 1.4 million more from the arts board. Mr. Chairman, for the Historical Society, it's on page 6. Line 259, superintendent position, it cut 1,480. Under the conference position, it's 1,780. So it increased the reduction, or the budget cut, by $300. And Mr. Chairman, on line 264, the Senate position was 1,086. And for the conference reduction, it's 1,386. So the reduction to the Historical Society was 600,000. Mr. Chairman, for housing finance, page 4, there are a couple of changes here on line 146. Senate and the House were about 2,003,000 apart, so we adjusted that number under the conference. It's 3,200,000. So that's about the 1,000,000 difference. And we also changed in the budget tails on line 142. Originally, that was in the budget tails, the $4 million reduction to the Housing Challenge Program. It was transferred down to the Housing Trust Fund on line 176. And in the budget tails, that no longer appears there. What that means is there's more money in the Housing Challenge Program in fiscal year 12. Mr. Chairman, there were two other adjustments. On the first page, on line 30, there was a $300,000 that was for the Institute at Mankato for exchange of renewable energy projects, and that is not funded in this bill. I understand there's money, maybe money in the higher ed bill or in the energy bill, but it's not in this bill. There's also, we found a base adjustment of $410,000, which was part of the reduction. And then there was another reduction in the tourism line. That's on page 3, line 129. The Senate was at 709 each year. You can see under the conference totals, that's 959. So there's 250,000 more of a budget reduction for the tourism agency.
Okay. So,
Mr. Chairman, that came to about 6.7 million.
And so, at this point in time, we've reduced our difference between us and the governor by about 17 million. The governor came up 5 million also in general fund. So I think we have a really good compromise here. And
Mr. Chairman, there was a revenue change too on line for page 9, line 359. The proposal is to change the workforce development assessment from 0.10 to 0.12 for 2 years. And that would increase the revenues for the Workforce Development Fund by $15 million into the Workforce Development Fund. The proposal is to take $5 million of that to the general fund, and that would leave $10 million more to the fund. And the fourth quarter of the fiscal year will show up in the tails. You'll see $2,341,000. So the proposal then adds $12 million to the Workforce Development Fund. This is in addition to the federal stimulus fund, $20 million that has gone into the fund.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, those are the major items.
Any comments or questions from the conference committee members? Commissioner?
No.
I'm sorry, Senator Polk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Jensen, the Hugo tornado, and there was some lake, some county stuff, as well as the House had a couple things. They had Green Isle and Lake County ice storm damage, and the Senate had the Hugo storm. Where are those funds? Because I think the House had it coming out of UI, which I had a problem with, but we did not. So where are those
funds? Mr. Chairman, the Hugo money for their relief is in the bonding bill.
Okay. And what about Lake County and Green Isle? Is that still coming out of UI?
Mr. Chairman, yes, they're still on a spreadsheet there. $64,000 and $250,000 are from the special revenue.
But the unemployment insurance, I mean,
yes,
it's coming out of unemployment fund.
Mr. Chairman, yes, from the balance.
Mr. Chair, Senator Culp, they have transferred more money for administration of unemployment insurance to a special fund, and there was money left over from the last biennium, which just stayed there anyway, and so we had used it to fund the Hugo tornado and the Lake County ice storm, and then there was a little money left in there, and Representative Broad put on that DNR fire relief, so. And they were all in the bill, and since the Hugo tornado was in the bonding bill now, we took that out and the other two funds in. That fund would have just stayed and been there for administrative purposes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, comments?
Mr. Chairman, I mean, I know that you all did the best you could with the governor's refusal to let us do what we wanted to do with the Workforce Development Fund and raise it up to a higher level. So I appreciate, you know, all the work that you did to adjust it. But I just have to tell you, in terms of housing, these reductions are great opportunity lost. I mean, we have a housing crisis that's been driving this economic crisis, and we had a chance to really do something. And because we couldn't spend the money we needed to in, for example, the Housing Challenge Program, huge opportunity lost and many jobs. I think we have something like 17,000 carpenters sitting on the bench right now. And, you know, not being able to put the dollars in there is really a shame. A lot of opportunities with the foreclosures. And there'll be some federal stimulus money, but, you know, again, I just have to say.
I agree with you because I think the December number was 54,000 unemployed. I think 27,000 or more in the housing building industry. And so it shows exactly what's been going on. Need to put those people back to work. Cutting budgets and laying people off doesn't make any sense in this period of time, but that's what we're going to end up doing. Any comments or questions? Commissioner? You can just say we got a deal. That'd be fine.
It isn't quite that simple, Mr. Chairman. First of all, we do appreciate the movement and the collaborative atmosphere and the ability to work with us, and we appreciate that. I have had a conversation with the governor. He wants to see the whole bill and have a chance to read it and have us read the whole thing. I do have two questions or three questions about language I want to ask. But in general, the bill, as we see described in the conference report and on this spreadsheet, is a big improvement over the original positions. It's very unlikely it would be vetoed. I can't promise there wouldn't be some line item vetoes, although I don't see any immediately. And the reason for that is there are half a dozen bills going to be closed up, and we need to look at the global picture. But in general, this is a bill that we think you did, under the circumstances, the best you could. We don't have any real major heartburn with anything. I did have three language questions. Did the conference committee make a decision on the River Center language?
Yes.
And what was the decision, Mr. Chairman?
It's in the bill.
It's in the bill. That is more of a problem. We know that there's some opposition to that. That is somewhat of a concern. There was a provision that Representative Rukavina and I talked about on Friday that would prohibit our using stimulus money for technology in schools. And I believe Representative Rukavina agreed to take that out, and I wondered if that had been amended out.
Mr. Chair.
Representative
Rukavina. Mr. Chair and Commissioner, I remember the conversation we had about funding a particular project, but I don't recall that it was tied to that language at all. But by that time, I was steaming anyhow, I knew, so I may have just passed over when the papers were vaporizing, but I think that language is necessary, and I think you can get you could certainly fund technology within your own department. You don't need the federal stimulus package, I don't think, to buy computers or do whatever your concerns are. And so I don't recall you and I having a conversation about that particular language. I recall us having a conversation about a particular funding problem that you said you could handle.
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Rukavina, I can handle it if I can use stimulus dollars. What we'd like to use some of the stimulus dollars, not a large percentage, but is to make some programming improvements in programs like Workforce One and the Workforce Center registration system to make it easier for workers. Right now, a worker has to sign up separately for unemployment insurance, the Workforce Center registration, and if they're enrolled in a dislocated worker or a WIA adult program, they do it three different times. We'd like to go to a program where when they sign up for unemployment insurance, their information is transferred automatically to those other systems. It isn't something that's good for us as an agency, it's good for workers. But we would have an opportunity to use one-time money in the Workforce Investment Act or stimulus money. And that's how I would fund the project that you described to me. We don't have money for that otherwise, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, let me address that. My intention wasn't when you have a special, I think, appropriation in the federal stimulus package for exactly what you're talking about. And that wasn't my intent to monkey with that because I think it's built into some and probably out of your staff. It's either actually specified in the federal stimulus package or it's spelled out within your administrative money somewhere. And it never was my intent to have you do that. I just didn't want you, buying new computers and cell phones and furniture or whatever with the rest of the money. So I will say that publicly, but maybe Anita or Ron or someone can help me as far as me remembering in that stimulus package what was available for administrative purposes and for upgrading your technology just for getting the unemployment insurance checks out the door.
Yeah.
That wasn't my...
That would be helpful, and I wonder if perhaps Rick Caligiuri can show me where that is in the bill or one of our staff.
It doesn't prohibit it. It's just kind of a finger wagger kind of thing. Maybe Mr. Caligiuri can alleviate both of our concerns because I thought that you had enough leeway within that funding coming from the feds for, which was for administrative and technology type purposes.
Mr. Chairman,
I think we might have had this discussion even in committee on the House side. But
the language that gives us difficulty is on page 18, line 18.1. The Commissioner shall not use any unallocated discretionary funds available to the Department under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, Public Clause 111.5, to hire full or part-time staff or enter into professional technical contracts for any purpose other than administration of the unemployment insurance program or to provide direct services to job seekers, including assistance in filing for unemployment benefits.
Well, there we go. That solves the problem. Move on.
Wait, no.
So you're saying you don't think that prohibits us from using ARRA dollars to upgrade the software to help workers find jobs.
Well, I think, isn't that what it says then?
No, it says that we can't use any discretionary funds to hire people or contractors. And they can't do the work without people or contractors.
For any other purpose other than the administration of the UI insurance program or provide direct service to job seekers, including assistance in filing for unemployment. What else do you want to use that money for? Wouldn't that handle the problem you just presented to the committee?
Now, what line is that on, Mr. Chairman?
Page 18 from 8, starting there, for any, on 18.7 to 18.11, it says for any purpose other than administration of the unemployment insurance program or to provide direct services to job seekers, including assistance in filing for unemployment benefits.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Rick Caligiuri. I'm Director of Job Seeker Services. This language, Mr. Chair, would prohibit the department from making any systems improvements that would help job seekers in anything other than filing for unemployment insurance. As the commissioner mentioned, there are multiple registrations necessary for job seekers. They have to register three times. If they're filing for unemployment, if they're using services in a workforce center, they have to register for in a customer registration system, and they have to register a third time to use Minnesota Works or the Electronic Labor Exchange. And in order to make an improvement so that they could register once, this would prohibit that.
Well, Mr. Caligiuri, you've been sick for a long time.
He's getting better. And I don't want to give you a setback here, Mr. Caligiuri, but, Mr. Chair, but if you read, Mr. Caligiuri, up above there, to hire full-time or part-time staff or enter into professional or technical contracts for any other purposes, so you could use current staff and you could use, it's just technical contracts, and then you go back down there, or to provide direct services to job seekers.
Mr.
It doesn't prohibit the direct services to job seekers.
Mr. Chairman, if you
and that would be my legislative intent for what it's worth.
Would you consider deleting paragraph 2, 18.1 to 18.11, and I would assure you that we would only use those funds for the specific purposes that we're not going to use them to do other things. We want to improve the registration system for workers.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner McElroy, I don't see where anything in there prohibits you from doing what both you and Mr. Caligiuri just said you wanted to do, but you know, maybe we can talk after this thing and fix it up somewhere else.
All right. That would be helpful, Mr. Chairman.
Another bill and the technical corrections if you have a problem with it. But I don't think it prohibits you from doing either of the things that you or Mr. Caligiuri asked.
Mr. Chairman, I'm concerned about how the auditor will interpret this. And
tell
one,
him, Mr. Chair, to come to me for the
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brookavina, I'm concerned about how the legislative auditor will interpret this. And one thing that we think would make it easier would be on line 18.9, if you would remove the word direct, if it said or to provide services to job seekers. And then based on your testimony that you think fixing the registration system is appropriate,
rather than have our staff have to do all that work, can we take that word out then in the technical corrections? You'd be happy, I promise you.
Yes, sir. I take your word. And then, Mr. Chairman, one other question that's really not my issue, but an issue that was raised by the Workers' Comp Advisory Council, is the language on alternative healers in workers' comp. Did that language stay in the bill that didn't go through the Workers' Comp Advisory Commission?
That's in the bill, yeah.
I think that causes some eyebrows to raise. I think it's unlikely it would cause the bill to be vetoed, but I'll need to have further discussion with the governor on that. And it's not the issue itself, but the process that we thought there was a longstanding commitment to have things go through the workers' comp advisory process. But Mr. Chairman, those were the limit of our concerns.
Okay.
I'm just looking to see. I don't see anyone waving at me.
Commissioner, I would be more than happy to work with you on that issue, too. I just wanted to give those folks who had never had a seat at the table when that decision was made by the Work Comp Advisory Committee to, you know, to have their day in front of the committee. So I know it says statute that they're back in for services, but they still have to, you know, be approved by a doctor, I believe, or by excuse me, by the insurance company itself. But we can work on that. And I'm glad that you know, we moved a lot, Commissioner, and that you and the governor moved a little bit, and we can get the job done. I'm really not happy about a lot of cuts in this bill, and you know, we're cutting a lot of programs for youth, making them here and there. We're nicking your agency, Commissioner. You know, and then we wonder why we're not creating jobs. We try to address that in the bill, and we're going after some of those youth programs, and then we'll all be wondering what's wrong with the youth nowadays, like my dad used to say, what's wrong with you guys when I was a kid, you know. And we're cutting housing $3 million when we have a housing crisis, and we're cutting the arts board, which really makes me wonder what kind of society we have, Commissioner, when, you know, we don't want any beauty in our society anymore. And the most egregious cut of all is to the Historical Society. You know, I wouldn't want some of your history and the governor's history known either, but, you know, still, we have to have, to know where we're going, we got to know where we've been. And we've been nicking them. And I mean, $3 million from their base, both in the arts and the Historical Society, is a sad testimony for our culture. But we did it, and now we're here, and hopefully we can wrap this up. And at least I appreciate the little movement that you guys made. We made a lot.
Okay. Appreciate that, Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative McElroy, you mentioned the XL Center. So could you define what the objections are and what the governor would recommend?
Mr. Chairman, very honestly, I cannot. That is not in the deed. I was relaying a concern raised to me by governor's office staff. I can try to find out in more specificity for you, but I haven't been involved in the discussion with the governor on that issue.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. McElroy, could you find out who it is that we might bring in front of the committee to explain why the governor is not, has some problems with that language? I mean, this is a pretty much a wash. The city is looking to put up a $40 million ICE facility across from the XL Center, and we're going to put people to work. It's all done with revenue bonds, so.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, I'll do my best to see if I can get you more information. I don't want to pretend that I know much about his concerns, because I do not, other than what I said. But I'll try to find out.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Well, it sounded to me like the bill's in pretty good shape then.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Mahoney.
I think the governor's lobbyist is here. Maybe he has some information on that.
On?
I know.
You're welcome. Mr. Chairman.
Is this the first time you've had to testify?
What's that?
Is this the first time you've had to testify?
First time.
Welcome to the committee.
Which is nice. I think that was
just say your name for the record, Brian.
Brian Steinhoff from the governor's office. I used to be a CA of this committee back in the day, so it's some familiar faces.
Well, Mr. Chair. Could you impart to the committee what the governor's concerns are, and is there one reason, or is there four reasons? Would you care to go over them so that my constituents in the city of St. Paul understands what the problem is, and
sure,
we can work on it?
Mr. Chairman, members, Mr. Representative Mahoney. I think we did have a letter sent out, and I think he did express the River Center forgiveness in that letter. Yeah. Saying that, you know, there's been an agreement. We had an agreement back in 2000, I believe, on this, and that the city should uphold that agreement at this point.
And that's it from 98, and doesn't want to see economic development in my city, in the capital city?
Sure. I think we do want to see economic development. There's different ways of going about doing that. there wasn't agreed upon, you know, there wasn't agreement with the city, and we feel that that agreement should go forward, and, you know, spending should be prioritized.
Chair, I could ask a lot more questions. I will tell you that it certainly does hamper the downtown area. It is a completion for a number of things. Everything from kids hockey and figure skating to curling. I would suspect there's a couple people here that like curling. To a practice facility that professional team will use. I don't know that that's... I'll leave it at that, and hopefully you'll get back to me with a better reason than that one.
Certainly.
Thank you. Well, what's the folks' pleasure here?
Chair, I'll move the bill and the spreadsheet that you've done to recommend the pass. Go back to our... The House and Senate for...
No. Any comments, questions, members? I think that we heard very positive testimony from the governor's office that the bill wouldn't be vetoed over the concerns that they have, and that the ultimate ending might be a little bit different with money based on how the other bills get passed and what's happening in the tax bill and revenue raisers, et cetera. And so we have no guarantee of line item vetoes won't happen, but we sound really like the bill will be signed in its current form. Does anybody hear anything different than that? Okay, Representative Rukavina then moves the bill and the spreadsheet. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. I think that's it. I think the meeting is adjourned.
Both sides of that.
We have signed.
The documents are here for Trace to sign.
We have documents signed. And good job, everybody. I appreciate your patience.